You're listening to Discutafel Podcast, your green audio about gardening, the outdoors and sustainability. In our February episode, we visited the Garden Museum in London. Do you remember? Well, this time I'd like to take you to a far more northerly part of Great Britain, namely Scotland. Welcome to episode number 169 of your own Green Audio Discutafel podcast. This episode has been released on the 25th of April 2024. My name is Yvonne Smit. Exactly 1 year ago, in the beginning of May 2023, my travel companion and I treated ourselves to a couple of hours in Inverness Botanic Gardens. We had already walked alongside Loch Ness, avoiding the famous Munster, by the way. We had ended up in Inverness, and of course we could not resist a visit to these gardens. I invite you to listen to the first part of my coverage, which I recorded for you while my friend kindly explored the gardens on her own, letting me do my thing for you. Discu coverage. I'm at the outskirts of Inverness, Scotland, and you probably hear the birds in the background. And I'm at the entrance of the hottest place, not only in town, but probably in the whole of Scotland. And that's the Inverness Botanic Gardens. It seems that there is something for everyone here. Horticulturalists will be inspired by the most northerly botanic gardens, as I was talking about. Families may explore many hidden corners, and you can also enjoy a stroll with friends or just sit in the peaceful surroundings here. The locally raised plants are cultivated by their own gardeners or supplied by local nurseries, and they are on show in the gardens and glasshouses and available to buy from the sales area. So let's see what's it all about here at the Inverness Botanic Gardens. I walk to the entrance. In fact, I've been here a couple of minutes before and chose to give a donation because they rely on your donations when you come here. They make no entry charge, but it costs about £10 per visitor to run the gardens. So we already gave our donation. On the right-hand side is the cafe, and then further on to the gardens, and I'm immediately standing in front of the tropical house, so let's go and visit that. I've still got my winter coat on, so I suppose it will be rather too hot for me there. Here we are in the tropical gardens. It's warm and humid here. In the tropics, the weather is hot all year round, with at least 4 times the amount of rain that falls here in Inverness in 1 year time. So I'm looking forward to see a colourful collection of plants native to countries such as Mexico, the Bahamas and northern Brazil. It seems that many of the plants are from the southern hemisphere, which means they have fabulous flowers and fruit throughout the year. There are coffee plants here, banana plants, ginger and pineapple plants. And in the background you hear the waterfall, which cascades into a pond filled with carp, fish, and surrounded by tender plants. And we could recognize the bougainvillea, the bird of paradise plants, and orchids. On the right-hand side, I see tables with container plants, and some of them I recognize as house plants, like sansevierias. Some of them are in flower indeed. Bromelia. Oh, I recognize the bromelia from back home. As usual, I will publish some pictures in the podcast show notes which accompany this episode of Discutafel podcast. So you can see it by yourself. I'm walking on a paved path towards the pond. I see the carp indeed, and some big orange fishes, perhaps, as we call in Dutch, goldfishes. And a gentleman with a photo camera enjoying himself. Here's the waterfall. As usual, in botanical gardens, there are signs telling you which plant we're talking about. And those signs are in Latin, like the Gardenia jasminoides. And the signs also tell you the place of origin, in this case, China and Japan, and the family to which this plant belongs. But people who are not really too interested in plant names can enjoy themselves here as well, because of the various forms of the leaves and the flowers. They're nice to look at. Well, let's go and look a little further into the botanical gardens. Leave the tropical house. The cactus house is rather small but beautiful. The members of the local cactus society and the garden staff made a beautiful valley, all grit everywhere, and the cacti grow in there. And it's very light in here. Some plants grow up against the ceiling, and there are stairs. You go downstairs to the floor of the valley. What impresses me here is the enormous diversity of colors and forms of these cacti. There is about 75 tons of rock here, as they say in the brochure, to function as the substrate of the plants, the place where the plants grow. And they also mention some plant names which can be found here, like the agave, aloe vera, the crassula, and various euphorbias. They've done a pretty good job here. Just outside of the cactus house, we see a table with carnivorous plants, and they can be found in many parts of the world, from acid peat bogs throughout Europe, swamps in the deep south of North America, tropical rainforest in Southeast Asia, and also in desert-like conditions in Australia. Carnivorous plants have become carnivorous because they have had to adapt to their surroundings due to necessity. They are virtually all found on nutrient-poor soils, where they supplement their diet by catching their prey, which can vary from the tiniest midges or, in some cases, with larger plants, small mammals are caught and digested, it says here on the sign. Outside of the tropical house and the cactus house are the gardens themselves and a gentleman working in the gardens, the garden wall, making some repairs, I suppose. I'm sorry about that noise. But in front of me we see several gardens. You can reach the gardens by pavement, and this time I see a big lawn with some nice borders of shrubs. And in between the two greenhouses, the tulips fully in bloom, as it is the early May in Scotland now. So it's tulip time. I read somewhere that over a half of the garden area is looked after by the so-called GROW project. And GROW stands for Garden, Recycle, Organics and Wildlife. And the purpose is to give you some ideas to try in your own garden. But the GROW project itself provides a workplace type environment. And it uses horticultural therapy to deliver training and work experience. And those trainees, they get their levels of independence improved, and they're helped here with a social inclusion, health and happiness. So it's a very special project here, the GROW project. There's more to do in these botanical gardens than the plants alone, because the cafe is open on Monday through Sunday and they offer indoor and outdoor seating overlooking the gardens, and also some nice food, of course. The gardens rely on donations and plant sales to keep them looking at their best all year round. So they usually have a selection of indoor and outdoor plants available, sourced from local nurseries or grown here at the gardens. They also have plants sown by the so-called GROW project team of gardeners available to purchase, and often some organic produce grown by them too. There are also volunteers involved here in the gardens. They're called the Blossoms, and the Blossom volunteers are fantastic at providing these gardens with hand-tied bouquets cut fresh from the gutting garden for donations as well. So those are all opportunities for you not only to enjoy the gardens but also support the gardens as well. Thank you. Disco Finish. That's it for now. Thank you very much for listening to Discotafel podcast. And of course, many thanks to my dear travel companion, because she decided to explore the gardens, Inverness Botanic Gardens, on her own, giving me the chance to make my coverage for you. Thanks, Margreet. If you have any suggestions about our work, please contact us at discotafel.nl. In the second part of our coverage, we will focus a little on parts of the botanic gardens that give you some practical ideas to try in your own green space. And this episode will be released on the 2nd of May 2024. In the meantime, let's go outside. And until next time.